This episode of The Lou Rockwell Show is sponsored by...
Do you want liberty in your lifetime? The Free State Project is our best chance. We are people who know that liberty will not be achieved by more of the same tactics and are committed to a strategy that will work. Check us out on the web at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org.
This is The Lou Rockwell Show.
It's great to have as our guest this morning Dr. Joseph Salerno. Joe is professor of economics at Pace University in New York City, where he heads the graduate program. He's academic vice president of the Mises Institute. And Joe, today I wanted to talk to you about what's happening with banking and money. Of course, we know what the Federal Reserve is doing, but there's another war going on. Obama, and I must say he didn't originate it, but he's carrying it out, the war on tax havens, the war on bank secrecy. Very sad to see Switzerland capitulate to the U.S. and open up all its bank accounts records to the IRS to abolish bank privacy. Really, the U.S. has done something that the Nazis couldn't do. The Nazis wanted to have all the bank records revealed to them, and Switzerland wouldn't do it. But they've done it for the U.S., Liechtenstein too, Andorra, all the former tax havens in Europe. I understand that they're going after the Caymans and Bermuda and all the ones in the Caribbean. And I guess any place on earth that isn't fully open to the U.S. government, where all information on people's monetary holdings are not available to the U.S., they're going to kill them. What are sort of the economic effects of this?
Well, as Ludwig von Mises always stressed, Lou, the fact that you could carry gold wherever you go was a check on despotic governments. So it was seen, hand-to-hand cash was seen as a way of getting your property out from under confiscatory taxation or other sorts of regulations and so on that the government was imposing. So the U.S. government today, as desperate as it is for any source of revenue, is in effect waging a war against cash. I mean, they would love to go to a cashless economy if they could, because it's easy to track all payments. And so they're making it more difficult for people to shift large amounts of cash from one bank to another or out of the country. So I've done some work on this, and one way that people can get out from under a dictatorial or despotic government is by removing cash from the banking system. And this tends to undermine the banking system. But really, it's not any sort of a seditious action. It's just simply people reclaiming their property, which the bank is contractually obligated to permit. So making it more difficult to reclaim this property not only shores up the banking system, but also gives the government power over our wealth and our very well-being.
Joe, I remember Murray Rothbard making the point that before the Federal Reserve came into existence, there was a huge and continuing propaganda campaign against using gold in hand-to-hand transactions. You were a rube, you were a boob, you were, you know, just sort of out of it, certainly unfashionable, ridiculous, if you wanted to do that. And it seems to me we see some of the same things here. There's some beautifully made Visa check card ads that show various retail situations where everybody's happily paying for their purchase with a check card, and all of a sudden some ridiculous guy wants to pay cash and everything stops. And the whole place is wrecked. They're all laughing at you, at the poor guy using cash. And I think, you know, there's no question. I mean, I remember when I worked for Ron Paul in the late 1970s, there was no question that the Federal Reserve and the Treasury wanted a cashless society. And I've always thought they were undermined by the ATM machine. The ATM machine vastly increased, I know in my own case and other people's cases, the use of cash as in hand-to-hand transactions. But now we're once again, as you point out, seeing the attack on people who use cash, and all the more important to use cash. Get your cash out of the bank and use it in hand-to-hand transactions. It's better than using checks, better than using a check card. Use cash.
Right, I agree. I mean, there was a war, you know, that was deliberately conducted against gold after the 1890s. By the 1920s, even though it was certainly legal to own gold and to use it, and we still were on a gold standard, gold had almost disappeared from circulation in the United States. And what they wanted to do was to get people used to handling paper money in that case, and also using checks. So that when they removed the last link between gold and the dollar in 1933, people, their mindset was that, in fact, the dollar is money. Gold is just the backing, rather than the dollar is simply a receipt, a certificate to go and get my property back from the banks.
And I can remember talking to my dad about this, and he confirmed that the gold was pretty much just used as presence before Roosevelt, because it made it easier to confiscate the gold, that the vast majority of it was in the banks, but that people would give gold coins as presents. But otherwise, you didn't tend to use gold coins in hand-to-hand transactions.
Yeah,
in the 20s and early 30s.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, it was all concentrated after the Federal Reserve Act. It all became concentrated pretty quickly in the central bank. I mean, there was a law or regulation that was passed in 1917 that centralized reserves in the central bank. And B.M. Anderson pointed out that there was an explicit reason for that, that the central bankers, or at least the people in the Fed, made known. And that was that they did want to increase the money supply on the gold base. With gold in circulation, gold is the reserves, and when it's taken out of the banks and put into circulation, it restricts the bank's ability to increase the money supply.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Is the growth of government driving you crazy? Is it frustrating you that you can't do anything about it? Now you can. Join the Free State Project. Move to New Hampshire and get active with other liberty activists who have already slowed the growth of government in New Hampshire. Go to freestateproject.org.
Although I remember the late Edward Durrell, we talked about this the other day, yes. Who was suspicious that the gold wasn't actually there. He was suspicious that a lot of it had actually left the country under LBJ, and he always wanted to audit the gold. He always wanted to have an independent auditing team go into Fort Knox, go into the Fed, and see exactly how much gold they had.
Well, we're told that there's no gold in Fort Knox. They've admitted to that. The gold is all at the New York Fed, allegedly. But I think the entire Fed has to be audited by an independent team of auditors. And certainly we should audit the gold that was seized from American citizens in 1933. The figure I hear is that there's 261 million ounces that they're holding now. Well, let's see how much there is. No one really knows. And it doesn't seem like they are willing to let us know.
Yeah, Ron Paul has a bill to audit the Fed. And in fact, Barney Frank is supporting that bill. So maybe there's, if not a chance to audit the Fed, a chance to take the Fed down another notch, that they refuse to be audited, that they are so secret, they have more secrecy than the CIA. So who knows? Because it seems to me the Fed is losing its cachet. It doesn't have the sort of mystical Mount Olympus feel to it that it used to have. I mean, after all, we have Ben Bernanke now going on 60 Minutes. Joe, I don't remember certainly Volcker or Burns or Greenspan or any of these guys sort of descending into the common, among the common people. They were just these mist-shrouded figures of glory way above us.
Yeah, they've definitely become more human in a sense. Okay, they've lost that godlike mystique that you were talking about. And it's great to see Bernanke having to go on to a popular news magazine show and try to take his case directly to the people. Of course, he's an ivory tower academic, and whatever he says will not resonate with the vast population. And so hopefully the Fed has lost all its cachet and is now just considered another bumbling, incompetent government bureaucracy, which it always has been and always will be until we succeed in abolishing it.
Well, I remember when I was a kid that... And I was, and subsequently, think this was a deliberate propaganda campaign to make you think that the Federal Reserve is sort of an eyes glaze over thing, that it's the name on the money in your pocket, but really nothing you should be interested in. It's boring. It's maybe like the Social Security Trust Fund. Nobody's interested in it. It makes you yawn. On the other hand, as we both know, ripping you off is something interesting. If somebody's stealing from you, that's a very interesting topic. And of course, the Federal Reserve is in effect stealing from you and me and everybody who's listening to this podcast, everybody all over America, really everybody all over the world. The Federal Reserve is a giant engine of theft, and therefore very interesting, and something that, of course, we want to always take down a notch.
Yeah, I might want to point out that a few weeks ago, I was on a panel discussing the crisis, and I was on the panel with a Fed official, and he gave his presentation and talked about how the Fed was targeting interest rates and using other alternatives to expand the money supply and provide liquidity to the economy. When I got up, though, I mentioned to the audience that the Fed, in fact, creates money out of thin air by simply writing up checks on itself, electronic checks in this case, and then buying stuff from you and I, government bonds and increasingly now private securities. And whenever they write checks on themselves and buy these things, they expand the money supply. Money appears that was not there before. And later in the question and answer period, the Fed official agreed with me, and he said, well, of course, Professor Salerno is right. We do create money. But he had never mentioned that in his original presentation, and without my prompting, I don't think he would have mentioned it at all. And most of the people in the audience, students and members of the local community, were genuinely surprised when I said that the Fed created money.
Of course, this is something not to be discussed. So and in fact, you notice in all the news coverage, when all they're talking about the crisis, the cause of the crisis, the one thing that's never, ever mentioned in the official media is the Fed. So it's always important to finger the villain for the crisis, for all the economic turmoil that we're going through now and are going to go through in the future, is the Federal Reserve System. And the only answer is to abolish it, as Murray Rothbard always argued. Mises too, of course.
Yes, yeah, of course, I agree completely with that. The Fed has imposed a permanent or a perpetual boom on us beginning in the early 90s, just expanding the money supply tremendously, slowing it down slightly at the end of the 1990s, which resulted in the recession of 2001, but then immediately going back to its old ways and pumping the economy up and causing another bubble, the real estate bubble. So it really is only the Fed that is at the root of our problem today and should be abolished.
And Joe, have we ever had a crisis like this where the whole world was on fiat money? I mean, where every single country has a discretionary monetary policy and there's no end to what the Bank of England or the Bank of Germany or Bank of France or whatever, Italy, they can all just create endless amounts of money.
Yes, and what's really scary is this: the U.S. is continually pushing for central bank coordination, which means everyone inflating in unison so that there is no escape. There is no escape to a country with a slightly harder currency. Okay, we're all on the same ship together, and the ship is sinking, and it's sinking because of fiat money.
Well, if you're on a ship, the one thing you don't want it to be made out of paper.
That's correct.
Joseph Salerno, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Lou.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. Thanks for listening.